Erev Tov, Chodesh Tov, and good evening, everyone. We are in the Zera Shimshon on Parshas Vayikra, starting a new Sefer in the Torah with the Zera Shimshon. We are going to do Os Beis, section number 2, and the Zera Shimshon is going to start right with the first pasuk in the Parsha, Vayikra, Hashem El Moshe, and Hashem called to Moshe and began speaking with him. And as the Parsha develops, Hashem began to go over all of the laws of the Korbanos. And of course, that's the theme of Sefer Vayikra as a whole. And the Zera Shimshon begins, as he often does, with a piece from the Medrash Rabbah. And so let's get right into the Zera Shimshon's words. Medrash Rabbah, the Medrash Rabbah on Vayikra, on the first pasuk of Vayikra, says, Call Talmud Chacham She'ein Bo Das. Every Talmud Chacham that doesn't have knowledge, that doesn't have Das, and we're going to see that interpreting or discovering the correct meaning of that phrase, doesn't have knowledge, is going to be critical. But for now, let's just go with the quote, Call Talmud Chacham She'ein Bo Das. Every Talmud Chacham who does not have knowledge, Nevela Tova Heimenu. A dead animal is better than him. A dead animal is better than a Talmud Chacham who doesn't have knowledge, doesn't have das. Teda lecha shekein, and you should know that this is true. Shehari Moshe, because behold Moshe, Adon HaNeviim, the master of all of the prophets who ever lived, the Avi HaChachamim, and the father of all of the wise men who ever lived, v'chulei, etc. And the Medrash Rabbah here goes on to talk about all of the amazing qualities, many of the amazing qualities of Moshe Rabbeinu and the things that he accomplished. And it gives a nice list, and it says, with all of those accomplishments and all of taking into account all of the incredible unprecedented things about Moshe, v'lo nichnas lifnim, and he did not enter inside of the Ohel Moed, ad shekara lo, until Hashem called him. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, and again, this is the first pasuk in Sefer Vayikra, in our Parsha Vayikra, Vayikra el Moshe, Hashem called to Moshe, ad kan lishono, until here's a quote from the Medrash Rabbah. So the Medrash Rabbah is saying that when we would expect that Moshe Rabbeinu would feel comfortable walking into the Ohel Moed without Hashem issuing him a special invitation, because after all, Moshe Rabbeinu was the closest to Hashem, was the greatest of the Nevi'im. Hashem spoke to him more clearly than to any other human being who ever lived, and Moshe was the one who was responsible for getting all of the commandments and the rules to build the Mishkan and all of these things. You would think Moshe could walk into the Ohel Moed. No, Moshe stood outside, according to the Medrash Rabbah, and waited until Vayikra, until Hashem called him, and then he came inside. V'hu tamua. So the Zera Shimshon is going to ask three questions. Here comes the first one. V'hu tamua, and this is strange. Ech yischayev haseichel, how can our logic be obligated to say shehanevela tiye tova meish enoshi, than a human being? How can we say that a dead animal is better than a living human being, a live human being? V'chol shekein mitamad chacham. And how much more so when we think of the fact that the Medrash didn't say a dead animal is better than a person without knowledge. It says is better than a Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar without knowledge. Ukmozar necheshav. This should be considered like a foreign statement, a very strange and bizarre statement. Vikvar tzavochu bo kamai. And already the early commentators shouted about this. And as Zera Shimshon says, don't think that I'm the first one who asked this question. The early commentators, earlier authorities already asked this question, as to how it's even conceivable that a dead animal, that the Medrash Rabbah would say a dead animal is better than a living Talmud Chacham, even though the Talmud Chacham doesn't have Das, again, whatever that means, he doesn't have Das, and a dead animal is better than him. How is that possible? That's question number one, which is, of course, a very straightforward, basic question. The ode, question number two, Ma Raya Hizu, what is the proof, Shehevi Mimoshe, that the Medrash Rabbah appears to be bringing from Moshe, Lomar Tesesha Nevela Tova Mimenu, that the dead animal is better than the Talmud Chacham without Das? How does bringing in Moshe and the incident of him standing outside the Ohel Moed and waiting until Hashem invites him in, how is that proving that a dead animal is better than a Talmud Chacham without Das? The Hayofatoa Kosav, in the commentary of the Yofatoar, he wrote, Shezeh Shehevi Raya Mimoshe, the fact that the Medrash Rabbah brought a proof from Moshe, Eino Al Inyan HaNevela, that doesn't have anything to do with the dead animal. That's a separate proof. We're proving from Moshe how he stood outside, and that shows that he had das. That shows that he had knowledge and understanding about the appropriate way to behave, and so he stood outside. But the Yofet Torah says, but that bringing the incident of Moshe standing outside and waiting to be invited by Hashem, that has nothing to do with a dead animal. So he says that, you know, that's the approach of the Yofet Torah, that there's no connection per se between the nevela, the dead animal, and the incident with Moshe Rabbeinu. Eino al inyan hanevela, that has nothing to do with the nevela, as we said, v'chule, etc. v'ayin shom, and you can look there in the Yofet Torah, the Zeir Shimshon says, to see him make that point. Now we're continuing to the next amud, the top of the next column. V'od kasha, and there's another question, which is our third question. Nokat hocha dafka talmud chacham. Lama nokat hocha dafka talmud chacham. Why did this piece in the Medrash Rabbah specifically say a talmud chacham without das? Why did it use that example? Ve'echi efshar shiye talmud chacham v'lo yeh bo das. And how is it possible to have someone who you're calling a Torah scholar, and then you're saying ein bo das, he has no knowledge? If he has no knowledge, then he can't be. How would he become a Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar? A person needs intellect, and a person needs to be able to understand very difficult concepts and ideas, and to become a Talmud Chacham. But now you're saying he's a Talmud Chacham shein bo das, who doesn't have any knowledge. Obviously, he has a tremendous amount of knowledge and a very powerful intellect. So the question is, the Zera Shimshon says, his third question is, why did the Medrash Rabbah choose not to say a person without das? Because then it would have said a dead animal is better than any person without das. But rather than saying that, the Medrash Rabbah specifically said better than a Talmud Chacham without das. So why did it choose to say a Talmud Chacham? And in addition, you might call this question 3B, in addition to that first part of question 3, the second part is that really possible to have a Talmud Chacham without das, without knowledge? Okay, those are the three questions. In the next paragraph, the Zeir Shimshon is going to begin moving towards an answer, and as he often does, he's going to give us lots of information first. Uledidon, and according to our approach, the Zeir Shimshon says, Nira Lomar, it appears that we can say, the Beperek Yud Aleph to Sanhedrin, in the 11th Perek of Maseches Sanhedrin, Amrinon, we say, call me She'ein Bo Das, every person who doesn't have knowledge, Osor Lerachem Alav, it is forbidden to have compassion on that person. You shouldn't feel compassion for a person who doesn't have Das, which of course is a very strange statement. Shenamar, but the Gemara says, as the Pasuk says, and this is a quote from Yeshaya, Ki lo am binos hu, this is talking about Klal Yisrael, and it says, they are not a nation of understanding, Al kein lo yirachamenu osehu, therefore their creator does not have mercy on them, on the nation. Okay, so the Gemara brings a Pasuk, which states pretty clearly, because the Jewish people, and we can say at a specific time point in history, but because they could be referred to as a nation without bina, without understanding, their creator Hashem doesn't have pity or mercy on them. So that's what the Gemara says. We see from there. And by the way, when it says, when we're talking, these quotes that are being brought here from that Gemara are all in the name of Rebbe Elazar. The Gemara brings a series of quotes from Rebbe Elazar. And he's the one who says that if a person doesn't have das, it's forbidden to have mercy on that person or to take pity on that person. The Ode Shaman, another quote from there, in that same Gemara in the name of Rebbe Elazar, Kol hanosein pito lemi she'ein bo das. Anyone who gives some of his bread, supplies some of his bread to someone who doesn't have knowledge, yisurin boin alav. Afflictions will come on that person. We're not here saying afflictions will come on the person who doesn't have das. Rabbi Elazar is teaching that afflictions will come upon the person who gives his bread, who shares his food with a person who doesn't have das. Now, that statement certainly complements the first statement of Rabbi Elazar that we learned a moment ago, that it's forbidden to take pity and have compassion on a person without das. But nonetheless, it only adds to the difficulty. It only adds to our problem in understanding how in the world can we not show rachmim? How in the world can we not share our food with a person who doesn't have das, who doesn't have knowledge? Shouldn't we feel sorry for them? Shouldn't we pity them and feel badly for them and go out of our way to take care of them and to feed them and share our food with them? But the Gemara Rav Elazar says no. V'chol mi she'ein bo das. One more statement from the list of Rav Elazar's statements there in the Gemara in Shabbos. And anyone who doesn't have das, lesof gole. At the end, he will be exiled. And in the end, his lack of das will lead to him being exiled and sent away from the community where he lives. Ad kan lashono, until here, is a quote from the Gemara and Masechta Shabbos. So the Zera Shimshon feels that he doesn't need to say what in the world do these statements mean. It's obvious to us that, and the Zera Shimshon knows that, it's obvious that we need some kind of explanation to understand what's going on in the Gemara and Masechta Shabbos in the 11th parak with these shocking quotes from Rebbe Elazar about not helping, caring for, pitying, sharing our food with people, with a person who doesn't have das. So the Zera Shimshon now is going to bring in the Maharsha, the commentator, one of the commentators, commentaries on that Gemara. Upirish Maharsha, and the Maharsha explains, Dehai She'ein Bo Deya, when the Gemara there talks about someone who doesn't have knowledge, who Dumya De Seifa, it's similar to what the Gemara is talking about a little later in the discussion. Here's another quote, to call me sheyesh bodeya lesof misasher. Anyone who has knowledge in the end will become wealthy. Dimitri lamarbe bischora, because in the beginning, this person who has das will do a lot of business. Ulebasof, and in the end, sheroe bisichlo vidato, in the end, this person who has das will see through his logic and through his understanding, shelo hoyelo, that all of this work and business that he's doing is not really helping him, gomar bedato, and then he will conclude in his mind with his knowledge, levakesh rachamim, to ask for mercy, mimisha haosher shelo, from the one who all of the wealth in the universe belongs to. Meaning, the Maharsha says, when we're talking about das, having knowledge or not having knowledge, we're talking about a specific type of knowledge. And that specific type of knowledge is awareness of the fact that we need to ask Hashem, who is the true source and the true owner of all the wealth in the world, we need to ask him for his blessing and for us to be successful in order to actually attain wealth. It's not enough to do a lot of business and work hard and invest all our time and energy and resources in trying to be successful. When a person realizes all of that is not enough and not sufficient and it won't guarantee our success, and they realize the only way to really accomplish what I want and to be successful in life is to ask Hashem, b'mevakesh rachamim, to ask for mercy from Hashem and to daven to Hashem, then the person, the Maharsha says, then the person can be called someone who has das. If a person has not reached that awareness, doesn't have that realization that everything depends upon Hashem and davens to Hashem, that person is called ein bo das. He doesn't have knowledge. As the Maharsha continues, umisha ein bo das, and someone who doesn't have knowledge, this particular type of knowledge, marbe bischora, he's going to do a lot of business. Ulefisha ain bodas, and since he doesn't have this type of awareness, ain't no mevakesh rachamim. He's not going to daven to Hashem. a person without this specific type of awareness is going to keep working. And if they're not successful, they're going to work even harder. And if they suffer business losses or financial losses, then the answer to them is, I just need to be smarter and sharper and work harder. They're not going to dive into Hashem because they haven't realized that success comes from Hashem. V'na'ase ani, and in the end, the person will become impoverished. Ulebesof gole. And the end, as the Gemara said, the person will be exiled from the community, sent away from the community, because the person will realize, I can't live here. I'm not being successful. I have to go somewhere else. And they never will have realized that what they really need to do, daven to Hashem, is the thing that they're not doing, is the missing ingredient, the missing piece. V'lochein, and therefore, asur l'rachem alav. Therefore, it's forbidden to take mercy on this person. Not that we would ever say, oh, if someone is somehow mentally or cognitively disabled, we shouldn't take pity. No, the Marsha says, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a person who has a wonderful intellect, possibly a very strong, powerful intellect. What they're missing is the awareness of Hashem and the importance of davening to Hashem to be successful and to have a parnasa. And that person, we can't take pity on them. Certainly, we should always take pity and have mercy on all of Hashem's creations. Shelo botlu tzurasan, who haven't, however, they have, that it has to be true, it has to be able to be said of them that they have not nullified their tzura, meaning the form that Hashem created them in. Kafi abriya, according to the creation, Hashem created everything in the world according to a certain tzura, a certain form, and a certain plan. Aval ha'odom, but people, mankind, kivon shenivra bedato v'sichlo, since mankind was created with knowledge and logic and intellect, and part of that was the awareness that Hashem is the only being that owns and controls all of the wealth in the universe, and so therefore davening to Hashem is essential. But a person should definitely realize that with their intellect and their logic. Im ein lo das, if he doesn't have this awareness, harehu ma'abed tzurasa, then he has destroyed or he has lost his form. He no longer can be said to have the form that was given to mankind, to human beings at creation. Ve'eno b'chlal kol ma'asov l'rachamo, and he's not even included in psukim that talk about being part of Hashem's creation, that Hashem takes pity on and has mercy on and makes sure to take care of. This person could be in that category, should be in that category. However, this person has taken away, has so disfigured his knowledge and his awareness, and now isn't aware of needing to ask Hashem for success. So Hashem doesn't have mercy on him, and Rebbe Lazar's teaching that people should not take pity on him also. Of course, it goes without saying that anyone who can teach this person and share with this person and instruct him and inspire him to understand how important it is to dive into Hashem for success and for parnasa, then of course that should be done. And then everyone, if the person attains that awareness and knowledge and davens, then of course everyone should. Then he comes back in the category of a person who we should help and support and take pity on. Ulefizeh, next paragraph. Ulefizeh, and according to this, meaning once we understand how the Maharsha explained the Gemara and Masechta Shabbos, then we can move forward with understanding, beginning to understand, put the pieces together to understand the Medrash Rabbah. Ulefizeh, according to this, Deyazu, when it talks about this knowledge in the Medrash Rabbah, a person without knowledge, Ratzalomar, what it means to say is, She'eno makir shehakol bo mehashkocha ha'elyona. It means a person who doesn't recognize that everything comes from a divine supervision. Ve'eno mevakesh rachamim al tzarachav, and he doesn't ask for mercy from Hashem on his needs. And a Talmud Chacham who knows about the Koach of Hashem, the power of Hashem, and who knows Torah and understands, should have an understanding of how the world works and Hashem's divine Hashkocha, Hashem's divine control of everything. It's impossible that this person wouldn't, on an intellectual understanding level, understand that everything comes from Hashem. If a person's a Talmud Chacham, then obviously they understand everything comes from Hashem. So how can you have a Talmud Chacham who has all that understanding and awareness but doesn't daven to Hashem for mercy? But definitely what we have to say is Shehu Somech al Zechuso. What this person is doing is he's relying on his merits and his Torah knowledge and his wisdom. And he's thinking, I have all of this merit, I have all of this Torah learning, I have all of this knowledge, so Hashem will do for me everything that he needs. He assumes Hashem will do for him. Even without davening, even without asking for mercy from Hashem. And that's why the Medrash Rabbah is referring to him as a person without knowledge, levakesh rachamim, to ask for mercy from Hashem. So the Talmud Chacham, and the Medrash Rabbah Davka talks about a Talmud Chacham, meaning to say a person who has all of the Torah learning that should make them fully cognizant and aware of the fact that Hashem is the one who controls this world. And they still don't daven to Hashem, they're still not levakesh for rachamim from Hashem. So that person, the only way to explain that is that person is saying, I have merits in Torah learning, and so I don't actually need to daven to Hashem. It's all coming to me, so to speak. I don't have to go out of my way to ask Hashem to help me. It's all going to come to me naturally. Va'alzeh Omar, and about this, the Medrash Rabbah said, about this kind of person with this kind of mentality, this kind of thinking, the Medrash said, Nevela Tova Heimenu. A dead animal is better than him. And now the Zera Shimshon is going to talk about why the Medrash Rabbah specifically talked about a nevela, a dead animal. Dibeperek, because in Perek, let's go to the top of the next column. Yudalad Shabbos, and the 14th Perek of Masechta Shabbos. So I have to correct myself. A moment ago, I referred to the Gemara in Shabbos. That's the Gemara we're about to read. The previous Gemara was a Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, and that's the one where the Maharsha brought in his explanation as to why we shouldn't have pity, why Rabbi Elazar was saying over there in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, we shouldn't have pity and mercy and share our food with a person without das. And the Maharsha supplied that explanation of what it actually means in the Gemara when it says ein bo das. Now the Zera Shimshon is quoting and bringing a Gemara from Masechta Shabbos, and it states, Isa, it says, Shahatfilin Nichtovin al Or Nevela Vitrefa. Over there, the Gemara says, brings down a brisa, that tefillin can be written on the skin of a kosher animal. Okay, so let's imagine a hide from a cow or a hide from a deer, right? Skin from a kosher behema or skin from a kosher chaya, a non-domesticated animal. Nevela vitrefa, even if the animal is a nevela or a trefa. So let's make sure we understand those two terms. A nevela is an animal that died from any natural cause and it was not slaughtered. It wasn't slaughtered according to Jewish law, according to halacha. Such an animal is called a nevela. So if there's an animal lying dead in the field, whether it died from old age or a disease or it got hit by a car, or another animal killed it, whatever happened to this animal, it is now dead, and it did not have a shechita, it wasn't killed through the process of shechita, through kosher slaughtering, that animal is referred to as a nevela, and the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos states clearly, openly, that you can write a Sefer Torah on the skin of that animal. So even though a person might say, oh, it's a nevela, it's not even, we can't eat it, nonetheless, the Gemara says, you may write, it's true, of course, that you can't eat it, but you may write a Sefer Torah on its hide once the skin, of course, is properly prepared. And the same thing would be true of a trefa, which is a little bit of a different concept. A trefa means that it's an animal that had some kind of disease or illness that would have killed it had nature run its course, and along came someone and did shechita, did a kosher slaughtering on it. So even though this animal, the trefa animal, had a kosher shechita, everything was perfect with the shechita, all the rules were followed, and a shochet killed the animal according to halacha perfectly. Nonetheless, since it had a disease that would have killed it, without anyone, you know, touching it or slaughtering it. If no one did it, it just left it alone, it would have died from this illness. It was a fatal illness that would have killed it within a year, within 12 months. That is called a trapha. That type of animal also, its hide, its skin may be used to write a Sefer Torah. That is what is taught in the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos. However, that Gemara says, and this is important to understand what's coming in the discussion, however, the Gemara says a non-kosher animal, its skin, the skin of a non-kosher animal, cannot be used to write a Sefer Torah. So even if hypothetically someone said they would go and slaughter it according to the rules of Jewish law, which would be an absurd thing to do, but even if that was done, it doesn't matter. A non-kosher animal right off the bat. So if you have a nice piece of pig skin, a leather from a pig skin, or a leather and hide from any non-kosher animal, you cannot write a Sefer Torah on that. However, you can write a Sefer Torah on the skin of any kosher animal, even if that animal is a nevela or a trefa, it died by itself, or it died through shechita, but had a fatal illness or disease, that you can use. So the Gemara there has a discussion in which a certain heretic came and challenged Rabbi Yehoshua HaGarsi and said to him, this doesn't make sense. Your laws don't make sense. Why? You're saying that you want to have a kosher animal to write a Sefer Torah. However, if the kosher animal becomes a nevela, dies by itself, or a trefa is on the way to dying by itself, it can still be used. That doesn't make sense because nevela and trefa can't be eaten. It's not kosher. You can't eat a nevela and a trefa. So you have to pick your what you want here. If you say the animal has to be kosher and everyone can eat it, so then you shouldn't be able to use a nevela and trefa, even if it's from a cow or a deer, even if it's from a kosher animal. And if you say you don't have to be able to eat it, well, then why not use the nice skin from a non-kosher animal like a pig? That's how the heretic challenged Rabbi Yehoshua HaGarsi in that Gemara. So the Gemara continues. Moshe l'shnei anoshim. So Rabbi Yehoshua HaGarsi answered and gave a parable about two people. Echad harogo melech, ve'echad harogo ispaklutor. Both of these men were executed. One of the men was executed by the king personally, and one of them was executed by the royal executioner, the official executioner. Eze mehem meshubach. So Rabbi Yehoshua Garci asked, which one of these two men it deserves more praise than the other? Obviously, whatever crimes they committed, whatever acts they committed to be deserve execution means they're not very praiseworthy, but of the two of them, which one deserves more praise than the other? In other words, which is like the lesser of the two evils? Heve Omer, we will say, Ze Shahar Go Melech, the one who the king personally executed. Obviously, the king must have had feelings for this person or a connection to this person to get involved in the execution. So that person had a more noble death, and that person should be viewed as more praiseworthy than the other guilty party who was executed by the executioner. The king wasn't involved at all. Ve'im kein, and if so, nevelos v'trefos, that would mean that animals who died by themselves, heim yoser chashuvim mehashchutos, in a certain way, they're more chashuv, they're more important, they're more valued than animals that are shechted by a shochet, animals that are slaughtered by a kosher slaughterer. Why? Because what Rabbi Yehoshua Garci was saying was, if an animal dies by itself, that, so to speak, means it died by the hands of Hashem. It's like the person. It's like the person who was executed by the king himself. However, an animal that dies through shechita, a shochet kills the animal. That animal can be compared to the man who was executed by the official executioner, and we don't attach any specific importance or chashivas to that. So in a certain way, a nevela, an animal that's a kosher animal, but one that dies on its own, or one that has shechita done to it but was ill and would have died on its own, is in a certain way elevated above a kosher slaughtered animal, which is a strange thing to say, but that's the point that Rabbi Yehoshua HaGarsi makes in that Gemara. Amar le hahumina, so the heretic said back to him, Ela me'ata yochlu, but now that you made that point about how praiseworthy is a nevela and a trefa animal, so we should be allowed to eat them. The Jews should be allowed to eat animals like that, but of course they're not. Amar lo, so Rabbi Yehoshua said back to him, Rabbi Shua Garcia said back to him, HaTorah Umra, the Torah itself says, Lo Sochu Kol Nevela, do not eat any type of Nevela meat, Va'ata Mart Yochlu, and now you're saying they should eat such meat? Amarlei, the heretic said to him, Kalos, Kalos, as you can see in the little parentheses there, means good point. That's a good point. So the heretic conceded and said, that's a good point. I made the point that to try and say, based on your argument, Jews should be allowed to eat nevela and trefa meat. And you're saying, well, that's a nice type of reasoning, but the Torah specifically forbids it. So therefore, of course, I'm not going to be able to prove, make my point or continue with my point because the Torah explicitly forbids it. So that's the discussion that goes back and forth in the Gemara and Masechta Shabbos. So the Zera Shimshon says in the next paragraph, Vekosha, and there's a difficulty here. Ma tshuva hizu, lemasha shol hamin. What kind of answer was this to give to the heretic? Umikolshkein, and even more than this, ech hamin ba'atzmo, how did the heretic himself, shibach tshuva zu, praise this answer and say, oh, kalos, which means that's a good point. That's a praiseworthy point. That's an excellent point. Right? So the Zera Shimshon says there's something, must be something missing, something we need to understand better about this Gemara in order to really understand the dialogue and why the heretic himself accepted Rabbi Yoshua Garcia's point in the end. The Tiritz HaIyon Yaakov, and the Iyon Yaakov explains or answers, Shemeito lo teitzei haroos. From Hashem, no bad comes out. Ki afshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi ra al ha'adam. Even though Hashem may at times bring something bad or that appears bad or is bad for a certain individual, utami tova la'acher, this always will result in good, at least for someone else. And here's an example. She'ima demes, if a person dies, yorshav yorshim imenu, his heirs inherit from him. Mamono, his money, his heirs inherit his money. V'chein kol kiyotze boze, and so too similarly with all other cases. So whenever something bad happens to a person, of course we understand that in the end that may turn out to be good for that person himself. But even if it ends the person's life, then the heirs benefit from receiving the property, and so too in all kinds of other situations where something bad might happen to person A, it's going to be the benefit to other people. So Hashem never does anything that we can say that is totally bad. No, if it's bad, there's always going to be good aspects that come out of it. V'hu hadin nami, and this is also true, the behemosh in this navla bidei shamayim, that an animal which became a nevela, means it died, again, it died without being kosher, slaughtered in a kosher way, Bidei Shamayim, from the hands of heaven, it died naturally. Mishubachas Yoser is praised more. Such an animal deserves a certain amount of praise. Umin hadin hayomutar leochlo. From a technical point of view, perhaps it should have been permissible to eat such a type of meat. Rak, however, lakach oser. The reason is forbidden is kidei sheyochlu haklovim es anevela, in order that dogs should be able to eat the meat. If it was permissible for Jewish people to eat kosher animals that died on their own, then they would eat such meat and they would never feed it to animals such as dogs. They would never do that because they would be able to eat the meat. But since it's forbidden, people do feed it to dogs and other animals. She'en HaKadosh Baruch Hu mikapeach schar kol birya. Because Hashem does not deprive, he does not hold back the reward for any animal, any of his creations. And klovim, dogs, receive a reward because they fulfilled the command of Hashem all the way back in ancient Egypt. They didn't bark, they didn't harass and bother, use their tongues and their barks to bother the Jewish people when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim. Lakach, therefore, the pasuk explicitly states, "Lakelev tashlichuno." So, throw your nevela meat, throw the meat from animals that died naturally without shechita, throw it to the dogs. Ad kan loshono, until here is a quote from the Gemara. I'm sorry, from the Perush of the Iyun Yaakov. So what's going on over here? We're learning that nevela, something which we might have in the past felt is taboo, disgusting, not even why talk about it. It's a meat that died by itself without shechita. It's unholy, it's impure, it's tame, it's all, you know, stay away from it to the best of your ability. But we would have thought there's certainly nothing praiseworthy about it. And the Gemara and Shabbos and the Iyun Yaakov, along with the Iyun Yaakov's explanation that the Zer Shimshon is bringing, shows us, no, don't think that. Nevela is actually very important, and there's a lot to learn from it. What's important about Nevela, and what do we learn from it? We learn that Hashem rewards all animals for good things that they do. And Mitzrayim, the dogs didn't snap at and didn't bark at the Jews when they were during Yetzias Mitzrayim. And so Hashem specifically says, when Jewish people have a nevela, a dead animal that they can't eat, take it and give it to the dogs. Why would the Torah specifically mention the dogs? Because Hashem wants to reward them and teach the lesson that Hashem rewards all creatures, not just human beings. Kal vachomer, human beings are always rewarded by Hashem for any good thing that they do. But even animals are rewarded for the good things that they do, just like the dogs receive the reward of the Torah going out of its way to say, give your nevela meat, because you can't eat it, give it to the club and give it to the dogs. The im kain, and if so, ha nevela eino ne'echeles, nevela meat is not eaten, lefi sheba ha-kadosh baruch hu rotze lehodia, because with and through nevela meat, Hashem wants to make known, she'eino mekapeach schar kol beria, he doesn't deprive any creature of its just reward. V'af l'klovim, and even for the dogs, mamtzi hamazon, he makes available their sustenance, be'es sheshoalim oso, when they ask for food, when a dog needs food, Hashem makes sure that at least in the Jewish towns and communities, they give him the nevela meat. K'dichsiv, as the pasuk in Tehillim says, as this is a more general idea, nosein livehema lachma, Hashem gives to every animal its food, livnei orev, to the children of the raven, asher yikro, they call out. When they call out for food, Hashem makes sure that they get sustenance. So Hashem created the universe and maintains and sustains the universe to make sure that all of the creatures and animals receive the sustenance that they need. V'zeh she'ein bo das, and this person, now the Zer Shimshon goes back to our piece in the Medrash Rabbah from the very beginning that talked about the Talmud Chacham without knowledge. This person without a specific kind of knowledge, as we've described, she'eino mevakesh rachamim, who doesn't daven to Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu eino rotzeh laseis lo, Hashem doesn't want to give sustenance and food to him. Ve'ihu de'afsid anavshei, and he is causing this loss to himself. He is responsible for the fact that he's not making a living and able to support his family possibly. Why? Because he's not davening to Hashem. And this is a person who should be well aware about the importance of davening to Hashem, because all benefit and all goodness in the world come, and all blessing in the world comes from Hashem. V'lochein ha-nevela tova mimenu. And that's why specifically nevela meat is better than him. Shahanevela mishtapachas, because nevela meat is praiseworthy. B'mesha mesa bidei shamayim, and the fact that it died in a natural way, it died bidei shamayim, lahafik rotzayin haklovim, to meet the need and the desire of the dogs who Hashem wanted to feed. V'hu eino mishtabach levakesh mizonosav, and this man isn't asking for its food, meis hashamayim, for his food from Hashem. Rak somech al maaseh yadav. He is relying on his own deeds and his own actions. So just to pause here before the last paragraph. So the Zer Shimshon says, we would never think a nevela. We started off asking the question, actually, how can a nevela, a dead animal, ever be called better than a human being? I mean, every human being at least has zechuyo, some merits for some good actions. This is a dead animal lying on the ground. It's rotting. How is that better than any human being? And so he answers and he says, that's because you A, you don't appreciate the importance of the nevela, and B, you don't realize the mistake that this man, she'ein lo das, what it really means to be a person called ein lo das, that he doesn't have knowledge. The nevela is, it has a madrega, it has a level and a status, because the Torah specifically says that Hashem wants us to give it to the dogs, to reward them, and that's why it's a nevela. It died by itself so Jews can't eat it, and so we give it to the dogs. It's part of a whole system of showing and teaching and proving that Hashem takes care of all the creatures and rewards creatures, all of his creatures, humans and animals, for what they do and takes care of their needs. On the other hand, the person without das, meaning the person who doesn't dive into Hashem and say, Hashem, I know that whatever my merits and knowledge might be, I still have to dive into you and ask you to take care of me. Person who doesn't do that doesn't deserve Hashem's rachmim, Hashem's mercy. The achshav, last paragraph, the achshav mevi raya, and now we understand why the Medrash Rabbah brought a proof from Moshe. She'af al pi shehayilo kol kach zuchus. The Medrash Rabbah brought a proof from Moshe because Moshe is the epitome of a human being with merits. He had more merits than any other human being could possibly attain. Im kol zeh, with all of this, with all of his incredible accomplishments and merits, lo nichnas, he did not enter the Ohel Moed, Ad Shekoro HaKadosh Baruch Hu, until Hashem called him again, which is what we see in the first pasuk of our parsha. Hefech Das Zeh, which shows that he had the opposite type of understanding of Moshe Sover, who thinks, Shebizchuso HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yaseh Imo Tova, because of his merits and his knowledge, Hashem will do good things for him, below Bakoshos Rachamim, without even davening and asking Hashem to take care of his needs and to show mercy and pity on him. So the Zera Shimshon has come full circle. We started with a piece in the Medrash Rabbah, and the Zera Shimshon had posed his three questions, which made it seem that this piece in the Medrash Rabbah, as short as it was impossible to understand. The pieces didn't make sense. And he was able to explain to us, number one, his first step was to use the Gemara in Sanhedrin to explain what it means when we talk about, what it specifically means when we talk about a person who ain lo das, who doesn't have knowledge, meaning they might have a tremendous amount of Torah and knowledge. They might be a tremendous Talmud Chacham, but they don't have the simple knowledge to realize that they must dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to be successful in this world and in order to receive blessings from Hashem. They have to ask. They must make the ask, so to speak. And then he brought in the second point to say it was really strange that they talked about a nevela, and the Medrash Rabbah said a nevela is better than this Talmud Chacham without das. And so the Zera Shimshon says, let me bring from the Gemara and Shabbos and the Iyun Perish of the Iyun Yaakov to help us understand why a nevela is significant and important and receives special attention in the Torah, and what we learn about the nevela in terms of the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the importance of davening to Hashem for everything that we need. Yashar Koch to everyone for joining us in our learning on Parshas Vayikra, and God willing, we'll be together to learn again next week's Parsha and the commentary of the Zera Shimshon.